Hi, this is Pastor Bill Woods, and I want to remind you something that I think you should know, but often we forget, is that God don't make no junk. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, through the New King James Version, says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That scripture kind of hits in the head, the idea that God predestines us to go to heaven or to go to hell before we're even born. That's not what it says here. He says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, because God knows the value of our soul. God knows the value of who we are. A well-known speaker started his seminar by holding up a $20 bill. He asked the 200 people in attendance to that seminar, he said, "Who would like this $20 bill?" Well, hands shot up all over the room. He said, "I'm going to give this $20 bill to one of you, but first let me do this." And he proceeded to wad it and crumple it up, and you know, it was just a wadded mess in his hand. Then he asked, "Who still wants it?" Still, the hands were up in the air. "Well," he said, "what if I do this?" And he had a kind of a pan thing there, and it was full of dirt and ashes and a little bit of moisture, and he ran the dollar bill through it. It was filthy. And then he dropped it all disheveled and dirty and on the floor. He held it and says, "Now who wants it?" Still hands went up. So he dropped it on the floor, started grinding the bill into the floor with his shoe. And he said, "Who wants it now?" Hands again went up. He picked it up, now all crumpled, and held it in the air for all to see. And he said, "Friends, you've learned a very valuable lesson today. No matter what I did with this money, you still wanted it because it didn't decrease in value. It was still worth $20. You know, many times in our lives, we are dropped and crumpled and ground into the dirt by the decisions we make or people we know, you know, all these different things come our way, and we feel like, well, we're worthless. We're not worth the trouble for God to even love. But no matter what's happened or what will happen, you'll never lose your value in God's eyes. Whether dirty or clean, crumpled or finely creased, you're still priceless to God. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." A family had a big, ugly rock that they'd used for years as a doorstop. It was kind of a conversation piece. But one day, a friend came and said they ought to go ask someone about what it was and maybe what it was worth. They said, "Oh, it's just a piece of junk." But finally, they took it in to be evaluated. It ended up being a gemstone that was worth $30,000. How many times do we overlook precious jewels that God wants to refine and use for his glory? I read in the Bible that she was a prostitute hooked on alcohol and full of demons. Those who knew her or knew of her thought that she was a selfish, wicked, evil woman that was simply unredeemable. One day, she met Jesus, and her life changed 100%. She became a wonderful, tender, exemplary woman of Christian virtues and a devout follower of Jesus Christ. Her name was Mary Magdalene, and Jesus cast 7 demons out of her and turned her into one of God's special jewels. Luke chapter 8, verse 2 tells us that Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons. Then I was reading, he was a tax collector. I mean, the tax collectors were looked down upon by all the Jewish nation. They were the scum of the earth. His fellow Jews saw him as a traitor. And he was lower than a Gentile in their estimation. Matthew collected taxes for the Roman government. He was counted with the sinners. One day, Jesus came by and saw something in Matthew that everyone else had missed. Jesus called Matthew to be his disciple, and immediately Matthew left his tax booth and followed Jesus. This is what it says in Matthew 9:9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Matthew became a catalyst for reaching many more people. Society would count them as worthless, but Matthew could see that there was something worthwhile there that God can bring out if people would let him. God saw such potential in Matthew that he allowed him to write the first gospel. He lived in another man that I was reading about, he lived in the cemetery. He was wild and dangerous, and people were afraid of him, and they chained him, but they couldn't hold him. Jesus came by and saw him, and he saw the potential that this man had that only God could see. And so Jesus cast out the demons. Let me read this story in Mark chapter 5, 1 through 13. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of a boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out, cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you, by God, that you do not torment me." For he said to him, "Come out of the man, unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" And he answers, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Also he begged him earnestly that he would not send, the demons begged him that they would not send them out of the country. Well, now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains, so all the demons begged him, saying, "Send us to the swine, that we may enter them." And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Well, the story is long of all the different people that Jesus met, all the ones that he saw something in that nobody did, because God doesn't make junk, you know that. There was a woman that was caught in adultery that they brought to him hoping that he would make some kind of a statement that they could find fault with. And he, instead of finding fault with her, he just bowed down and wrote something in the dirt, and each one with the stones from the oldest to the youngest dropped their stone and left. Jesus finally looked up and he asked the woman, he said, "Where are your accusers?" And she said, "I don't know, God, they're all gone." And Jesus said, "Well, you can go too, but sin no more." Also, there was a Samaritan woman at the well. You remember the story how Jesus came to the well and talked to this woman. She was Samaritan, and Jews didn't bother with Samaritans. They were unclean. And she was a woman, and a good rabbi, a good Jewish man would not talk to a woman. But Jesus went up to this woman at the well. It happened to be in the middle of the day because her lifestyle made her so she didn't want to be around the other women that came in the morning or came in the evening. And so she would come when nobody was there. In fact, you know, she was ashamed of herself, I guess. Anyhow, Jesus asked her for a drink of water. And the conversation went, and she said, "You know, this is the well that our father Jacob made," and all that. And it's strange that a Jew would ask me for a drink of water. And Jesus said, "If you knew who I was, you'd ask me for living water." so you'd never thirst again. And she said, give me that living water, Lord. And he began to explain to her. He said, you know, you've got five husbands, and the man you're living with now, you're not even married to. And she began to see how much Jesus could see right into her soul. And she asked Jesus, you know, what he was going to do. And he told her that she could have peace with God with this living water. And then she ran into town and she told everybody, come see a man that told me everything I've ever done. Could this be a Messiah or the Messiah? And so they all came and they talked, and Jesus ministered to them for a couple days. Then there was a man called Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was a wicked man at this time. He didn't realize he was wicked. He was a devout Jew, a Pharisee. He was well known and well educated, and he wanted to wipe out this new sect they called the, you know, people of the way, or Christians. And so he was going around, he was arresting people and bringing them into prison. A lot of them were being executed. In fact, Stephen, the first martyr, Saul was there, and he held the coats of the people while they threw the stones at him. But, you know, he didn't get away from that very easy. One day, he was on his way to Damascus, and God stopped him right in his tracks. And he fell off his horse, and he heard a voice say, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, who you persecute, meaning you're after my people, my church, and you're persecuting me because when you hurt them, you hurt me. And he was struck blind, and they led him into Damascus, and for 3 days he was very blind, and he couldn't see a thing. And then God talked to a man in there by the name of Ananias, a Christian man. He said to Ananias, I want you to go to this place, and I want you to meet this man named Saul. And Ananias said, oh God, don't you understand? He's been killing Christians. But if you want me to go, I will. He went in and he said, Brother Saul, I'm here because Jesus has sent me here. And the Bible tells us that he prayed for him and the scales fell off of Saul's eyes. And Saul was converted instantly to Jesus Christ. And he eventually became the Paul the Apostle, who wrote a great deal of the New Testament. What a change God made, because God could see that he was no junk, but he was worthwhile here. You know, I was thinking about some modern people that were valuable to Jesus Christ. When I was growing up in Walla Walla First Church, the Nazarene, we had a fellow that was a hopeless alcoholic that was homeless, lived on Skid Row. His name was Roy Doar, and he was beyond hope. Everybody thought, you know, what's that old degenerate bum doing here and stuff? But I want you to know, one day Roy Doar listened to the sermon that the preacher preached, and the Holy Spirit dealt with him, and he went and prayed at the altar and accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And what a change! He became a very permanent part of the church. In fact, he knew how to play the violin, and he played in the orchestra and played solos. And it was tremendous what Roy Doar was able to do after Jesus Christ cleaned him up, because God saw him as being valuable and not as junk. Then there was Nancy. I won't give the last name because she might hear it someplace and be offended, but she was hard and unattractive and crabby and short. She was a cashier at Safeways, and you didn't want to mess with her or she would just bite your head off. People were even afraid if she had a cash register she'd run, they would go to another one if they possibly could. But I want you to know, Nancy one day came to church, and she found Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. And what a change. Jesus even changed her features. She had been hard and homely, but all of a sudden her features softened and she became actually a lot better looking. And she and her family then came to church, and her husband got saved. And what a wonderful thing, because God don't make no junk, all right? Praise God. Well, then there was Anne. Anne was a lady with a lot of talent, But everybody thought of her as just poor white trash. She had been into a lot of sinful things, and she was kind of like the woman they brought to Jesus, the adulteress. And she had a lot of talents, but nobody had tried to develop for the Lord. But one day she got saved, and her son got saved, and they're a tremendous story. She became a vital part of the church, praise God. Listen, how many diamonds in the rough have slipped through our fingers because we didn't see the value of them that Jesus Christ sees? I mean, I saw one time when I was in Seattle, an old man down at the McDonald's. He was getting a cup of oatmeal so he could put hot water in it. And people were very critical. Why doesn't he go someplace else? Why does he come dirty up this McDonald's? And you know, it was one of those situations where, again, people were judging, but they couldn't see him like God did. This was a valuable soul that should belong to Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been lied to by Satan. He's told you that you have no value, that you've sinned too much, that God doesn't even want to save you, that you're so evil that God couldn't even save you if he wanted to. I want you to know something. Satan is a liar. He's the father of all liars. God sees value in you, and whatever you've done, the love of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit can go deeper into your heart than any sin can penetrate there, and God can cleanse you and make you a new person in Christ Jesus. Listen, Jesus knows how valuable you are. In fact, he knew you were so valuable that he knew that unless he came and worked your plan of salvation and died in your place on the cross, took your sins upon himself because he never sinned and he was qualified to pay the price for you, he saw how valuable you and I are, and he did that for us so we might know him as our Savior, be forgiven of sin, and have a home in heaven. He gave his life to save you. I'd remind you of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Well, you know, I can say this, I'm okay because God made me, and God don't make no junk. I like the poem that was written by Myra Brooks Welch. It was called "The Touch of the Master's Hand." Here's how it goes. "'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. 'What am I bidding, good folks?' he cried. 'Who'll start the bidding for me?' 1 dollar, 1 dollar, then 2, 2 dollars, and who'll make it 3? 3 dollars once, 3 dollars twice, going for 3? But no, from the room far back came a gray-haired man, and picking up the bow, then wiping all the dust from the old violin and tightening the loose strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as an angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, in a voice that was quiet and low, said, 'What am I bid for the old violin?' And he held it up with a bow. 1,000 dollars, and who'll make it 2? 2,000, and who'll make it 3? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice, and going for 3? The people cheered, but some of them cried, 'We don't quite understand. What change is worth?' The man replied, 'The touch of the master's hand.' And many a man with life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin is auctioned cheap to the thoughtless crowd, much like the old violin. A mess of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and he travels on. He's going once, he's going twice, he's going and almost gone, but the master comes, and the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that's wrought by the touch of the master's hand. If only we could see the worth of the souls around us as Jesus does. When we go to the grocery store, when we go to the service station, when we go to wherever we go, even to church, to realize there are people there that God looks at as valuable, and we need to do something to tell them about what God thinks of them and how they can find salvation in their own hearts. Remember what Jesus said in Mark 8:36-37. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your soul is worth more than anything that the world has to offer. And unless you accept Jesus Christ, you're going to end up in hell for all eternity. We don't want that. I don't want that. Remember, you're not junk. God doesn't make junk. And he wants to save you. He wants to change your life. He wants to put you on a right track for heaven. And then if you haven't accepted him as your personal Savior, why don't you today just bow your head and say, Jesus, please forgive me for my sins and come into my heart and help me to live for you. I want you to know repentance is not just accepting the fact that Jesus existed and have head knowledge about him. It's a heart change. It's saying, Lord, I'm going to mend my ways. I'm going to start serving you. I'm going to do the things you want me to do. In fact, it's a turnabout, 180 degrees. Jesus Christ can change your life and give you peace that passes all understanding. Then I want to say, who do you know that needs Jesus Christ? Don't you think because God thinks they're worth saving and he doesn't make junk, that maybe you ought to talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ? We need to do more to reach people before that final judgment day when people are told that they are not going to be able to go to heaven, but they're going to be lost for eternity in hell. Pray with me. Dear Jesus, please help us. Help each one of us. If there's somebody that up until now has thought that God created them and they were just junk, help them to realize, Lord, not in your economy. They are worth more than the world in your economy. And I would ask Jesus that you'll help them today to find you as their personal Savior. And then, Lord, there's people all around us that are on their way to hell. What a horrible thing. I've so often, I look around and I think, I wonder how many people here are ready for eternity. And the thought comes, the majority of these people are lost, are on their way to hell. And God, help us to be aware of the fact that there are people around us like this. And when you give us an opportunity to speak to them about their souls, help us to be faithful and help us to do your work. Oh God, I pray that you'll help us as we are involved with other people, that we will be the ambassadors you want us to be, that we will hold forth the flags for salvation and holiness and help people find you as their Lord and Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you want to get a hold of me, you know what to do. My post office box is Box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. My telephone, which you can either text me or you can call me if you have a need, is 623-845-2741. I'd be privileged to pray with you if that's the case, that you need to get things right with God. By the way, I will be preaching tomorrow again at the First Baptist Church here in Holbrook. It's on the corner of First Avenue and Buffalo. And I'll be preaching on the topic, Ready for More. Love to have you come. And we're going to be praying that God will just bless you abundantly is the word I'm trying to say. God bless you. We'll talk to you later.